stand up for Jesus. We are entering into a new year this morning, and I could think of no better thing than to start out a new year, coming together and worship and praise God. Can't think of anything better than that. And it's certainly a blessing. And I hope that each and every one of us has resolved this year to be better servants to the Lord than what we have been in the past. That our efforts will be profitable, not only to us, but those who are around us. This morning, I want to talk about something that may not directly affect everyone in the audience, but it certainly will touch most of us in a practical way. And the rest of us certainly can learn, and those who are older, who have their children raised up, and they've moved off, you know, you never stop being a mom or a dad. And so, we need to all think about these things as well. Grandkids, grandparents need to think about some of these things as well. The principles apply all the way across the board. Children need to listen, because they need to know how and learn how to be godly children. And hopefully this lesson will help you. Raising godly children in an ungodly world. The book of Deuteronomy, the passage that was read in the scripture reading this morning, Moses is instructing the children of Israel just before they are ready to go in and possess the land. This entire book is the re-giving of the law. And in verse 6, Moses says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Now, brethren, listen. What Moses is telling the children of Israel here to do is to take the Word of God and always, 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 at all times, under every circumstance, have the Word of God before your children. You teach it to them in the morning, in the day, in the afternoon, in the evening. You teach it to them not just by reading it to them, but living it before them. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. It should be a part of your life. And they should be able to see God's Word in your life. Now friend, that principle still holds true. That is a duty that every parent has. To live the Word of God and to teach the Word of God. If we do not live it, the power in our words will be lost. So, now to the sad part. You go a few years into the future, and in Judges, the second chapter, in verses 10 through 13, you go back to Deuteronomy, the children of Israel were about to enter into the land. Leadership of the nation was about to be turned over to Joshua. And Joshua did. He led them into the land. But it says in verse 10 of Judges chapter 2, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, that's the generation of Joshua, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which He had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. Three generations after coming out of Egypt, they were so influenced by the ungodly people of the land that they inhabited. First of all, they failed to drive them out like God told them to. And in them remaining in the land influenced the children of Israel to turn away from God to idolatry. The importance of teaching our children, can clearly be seen in this story. We need to remember that we do live in a wicked world. We live in a society today that is becoming more and more hostile towards Christianity. Friends, let me tell you, we do not live in the same country that we did 50 years ago. We don't live in the same country that we did 30 years ago. Things are increasingly getting worse and worse. We live in a culture that is hostile to godly values. You turn on the television set. You go to a movie. You listen to music that comes on the radio. And I don't care, by the way, whether it's classic rock, classic country, whether it's hip-hop or pop, whatever it is, it's the same stuff for the most part. It's ungodliness, it's worldliness that's coming on the radio in the songs. There are some good songs. There are some great songs. But by and large, what is in the majority when it comes to music today? And there are some genres that are clearly worse than others. Music. All these industries glorify immorality. Especially sexual sins. And all of these industries, they also have this in common. They ridicule Christianity for the most part. They make fun of those who hold to what's right. Our government, the education that is promoted by the government in our time has become so secular, is pandering so much to the ungodly people in our world. I mean, isn't it sad? Isn't it terrible that one of the big issues that you have during a football season is that somebody wants to say a prayer before a football game, and you have all kinds of people coming down and ridiculing that? How terrible that is to force religion down people's throats. Now, that's a big issue. But all the other things that are going on, all the forcing of the teachers to introduce sex education, all of the enforcing of humanistic garbage, naturalistic evolution, the philosophies of men, all this stuff being crammed down our children's throat. But if a teenager wants to say a prayer before a football game, that's big news. And how terrible that is. Naturalistic evolution and humanism are taught in public schools at every level. They are. Every level. And kids, when you go off to college, you go to these higher places of education, you're going to be taught this. And the professors are generally going to really make it a point to shove it down your throat, trying to destroy your faith. We live in a culture hostile to godly values. The world's attack on the family has also been escalating in the last several years. The diminished respect for traditional marriage, instead of traditional marriage, let's say biblical marriage. And people have thrown God's will under the bus. And all kinds of things are being promoted today. Even homosexual marriage. What's next? Can a person marry his dog if he wants to? Is that what's coming? What's next? How perverse is our society going to become? Unfaithfulness in marriage has increased. I read, in fact, and I'm kind of hesitant because the statistics that are out there today are so varying, but I read one article where 82% of married couples have been unfaithful to their spouse. I don't know how accurate that is. But if it's anywhere close to accurate, how sad that is. Rise in divorce rates. 50% or more of all first marriages end in divorce. Over 60% of all second marriages end in divorce. And the worst thing is the attitude towards divorce has changed a lot in 50 years. A lot. The gender distinctions that are to be found in marriages have been done away with by women libbers. Now, listen. I'm all for equal rights. But I am not for women rejecting their God-ordained role in a family. And a woman who fights against God's ordained role in a family is fighting against God Himself. She is to be submissive to her husband, and her thought, her place, her role in that home is every bit as important, if not more so, than the husband. She is every bit as valuable, if not more valuable, than the husband. She just has her role, and she needs to fulfill that role and to accept her role. But this liberating, what are they trying to liberate women from? They're trying to liberate women from the traditional family values. The values that we find in the Scripture. So that women can be independent, separate and apart from man. Now, God, you go back to Genesis chapter 2, God created the woman for the man to be a comparable helpmeet for him. And people are trying to tear that apart today. Distractions. We live in a world where there are so many distractions, and moms and dads are torn going everywhere, trying to keep up with their job and with the school requirements and things that are going on. Moms and dads are stretched. You take a rubber band and you pull it until it breaks. That's how far moms and dads are stretched these days. All the things that are expected. Busy moms and dads, we need to be careful about these things. We can easily overload our wagons if we're not very careful. And more focus on the secular than the holy is what is creeping in more and more and more into families. Godly families. Families who want to serve the Lord. But they are allowing these things to come in. In Luke the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 11, you have the parable of the sower. You have the hard soil, the rocky soil, and you have that soil that's choked. The seed is choked by the cares and riches of this life. And our children are being choked by the same thing. We need to put more focus on the holy things than we do the secular things. I want to tell you something. Parents, listen. Listen carefully, okay? Your children's grades at school, they're important. I understand that. And they should strive to have good grades, and you should strive to encourage them to make the best grades they can. But not by throwing the Bible away in order to accomplish it. The Bible must come first. Their spiritual education must come first. It must be the priority. And you need to teach your children what's more important in life. The spiritual things are more important than the material things. And when you stress their grades more than you stress their biblical education, what does that say about you? Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." This rule, this principle, is taught in Proverbs. It's taught throughout the Scripture. But listen, how many of you who have raised children, how many of you can say you are the perfect parent? I can't even. But I will tell you this. If you do the things that the Lord tells you to do as a parent, you teach your children, you bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, it'll stick with them. They'll retain it. And they'll be faithful. We as parents need to understand the importance. In Ephesians 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So the children have responsibility too. All right, they have a free will. And they can choose to reject your teaching or accept it. So children, you obey God by obeying your parents. Honor your father and mother. Respect them. Which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Children, learn to respect your parents. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That is the father's responsibility, to see that his children are being brought up, being trained, being admonished, taught, encouraged to follow the Lord. We are stewards of our children. The parents' responsibility to their children is seen in several ways and in several passages in Scripture. Children are heritage to the Lord, Psalms 127 and verse 3. A heritage of the Lord. They are a blessing for us. And we are given them by the Lord to mold and to groom. Stewardship implies responsibility. We see that in 1 Samuel and the parents of Samuel and what they emphasize for their young child. And we see, I hope, the importance that we all have of teaching our children the things of God and putting spiritual things first in their life. Grooming them. Increasingly encouraging them to follow the Lord. It takes effort. Ladies and gentlemen, being a parent is not easy. It is not something that you can slack off from and expect to be successful. Being a parent takes effort. In Luke 12 and verses 42 and 43, and the Lord said, "Who is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give him their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." And so we have been given a stewardship, and the Lord's coming. We're going to be judged, my friend, as to how we raise our children. Too many stories of regret by parents who realize that they failed. I have talked to people personally, people who have called me on the phone, come into the office. I've talked to people who wasted their years as they were young in their early 20s and they weren't faithful to the Lord. Their 30s, they weren't faithful to the Lord. Their 50s, they get up to 50, their children are grown and out of the house. And they begin to think. And some of the teaching that they had been taught when they were children finally came back. And so they realized the importance of turning to the Lord. But all those children who came up under His guidance were in the world. And I've talked to people who have tried everything possible to get them to come and learn of God, but the children were not willing to listen. the opportunity was missed. My friend, listen. Your main responsibility is not to make sure that they're successful in this world. Your main responsibility is not to make sure that they're happy in this world. Your main responsibility is to help them see the importance of spiritual things and help them to develop an attitude that desires to please God. Help them to develop a faith that trusts God. Helping them to come to... Now, they have to do that themselves. That's true. But listen, your responsibility is to help to nurture that. And it is becoming more and more difficult due to the culture in which we live. But there are far too many sad stories of wasted years by parents. Some of you know what I mean. Parents are stewards. One generation from apostasy. Friend, if we do not train our children, the world will. If we do not train our children, our society will drag them down into the darkness, in the mire, in the filth that's all around us. If we don't train them, Satan will. And your acceptance or your rejection of your duties as a parent, that'll be your real legacy. Really, that's your legacy is not how much money, how much of a fortune you leave to your children. Your real legacy is not how much success that they have in life. Your legacy will be, did you bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? And if you did, you think of men such as, in the Bible, such as Abraham. What was his legacy? And we also can think of those in the Bible who failed. Eli, Samuel. But the truth is, this is our primary job as parents. And that will be our true legacy. Now, quickly, I want to share with you 7 practical tips. We could add to this list, but we're not. We're just going to mention 7 things. 7 things that will help you as a parent. Number 1, you teach them how to love by loving them. You teach them how to love. Older women are to teach the younger women how to love their husbands, how to love their children. Love. We all know people who grew up in homes where there was no love. These individuals have no self-worth. And it's really hard to instill in them and to help them to overcome those formative years. Listen, parents, love your children. And teach them to love by loving them. And by the way, loving them does not mean you give them everything they want. Loving them means that you give them what they need, that which is the best for them. And they may not agree with you about what's best for them, but that's okay. You as a parent need to understand what is best for them, and that's what you need to focus on. And of course, the spiritual things are the most important. And so, our true values will be seen in what we seek for our children. If we're seeking material gains and wealth for our children, that's our priority for them, then that should tell us something about where our priorities lie. We need to love them by teaching them to love God. What greater gift could you give your child than the gift of love for God? Can you think of one? To teach them and to help them love God by showing that in your life and demonstrating the result, the consequences of loving God. Deuteronomy 6 and verses 4 and 5, Moses there says, No, first of all, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. That's what he says just before he tells those people to teach these things to their children. You teach them to love God by loving God. They have to see that in your life. Secondly, teach them God's Word. Teach them God's Word. Whether they know mathematics or science or any other secular subject, whether they know those things very well or not, really, in the overall scheme of things, doesn't matter on the Day of Judgment. Think about it. What they learn in secular school is not going to really matter on the Day of Judgment. To know things so that they can make a living and all of that, be successful in providing for their family and fulfilling God's will in that regard, fine. But the most important thing is that they know God's Word. That's what they had better be taught. And that needs to start early. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul tells Timothy that his mother and his grandmother had raised him, had taught him the Word of God from his childhood. Children, in their formative years, that's when they need to be taught these things. And it needs to be emphasized to them. The Word of God. Teach it to them while they're young. I mean Madeline's age. Teach it to them. You'll be amazed at how much children can learn. Begin teaching them. And teach them diligently. As Moses says, keep it before them at all times. That should be your priority, is to teach your children the Word of God. And you live it before them. Are you teaching your children the Word of God as you should be? Are you learning the Word of God yourself as you ought to be? Discipline. Now, the term discipline, we first usually think of getting a belt and wearing a child out when we think of discipline. That's what first pops into our head. But that's not certainly all that is involved in this term. The term has to do with both positive and negative teaching. Positive enforcement, reinforcement, teaching. Teaching them to respect authority is of utmost importance. And so you need to teach them, first of all, who is really in control of everything, and that's God. And as Matthew says in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19, where Jesus says, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Listen, Jesus is the one who has all authority. And your children need to learn that. And they also need to learn that the Lord has given you authority over them. That they need to obey you. And that it's important that they obey you. And friend, it isn't. Isn't it? It is important. And so the positive enforcement, teaching them, instructing them of what is right and what is wrong, helping to train them so that they can look at problems and principles. You know, in mathematics, you know, one of the methods of teaching people, at least in the past, has been, okay, memorization. You remember your multiplication tables. I'll tell you a better method. Understand how the multiplication tables work. Understand the principles behind it. And then, even though you may not have been taught a particular multiplication set, you can be able to figure it out by yourself because you understand the principles behind it. And teach your children then the principles behind life and what life is really about. And help them to take God's Word and understand the principles in it so that they can discern what is right and what is wrong. And they need to realize that they were put here for that purpose. In Proverbs, the 4th chapter, in verses 1 all the way through the end of the chapter, The Father is exhorting His Son to understand. Our children need to understand. It needs to be more than just a surface learning. It needs to be more than the facts involved in quoting and memorizing Scripture. It needs to be where they understand the Scripture. That's a parent's responsibility. And, of course, yes, to punish. To punish disobedience. Because they need to learn who's in authority. Who's in control. And this has been taken out of our schools. It is looked down upon in our society. Dr. Phil says, if you spank your child, you will destroy their self-image. My friend, listen. The Bible says, the Lord God says, if you spank your child, you will save his soul from death. The Bible says that if we do not spank our children, that they will shame us. Proverbs 13:24, chapter 22 and verse 15, chapter 23 verses 13 and 14, chapter 29 verses 15 and 16, all talk about the rod of discipline. What is a rod of discipline? If you beat him with it, he shall not die. What is that rod? It is a rod of punishment. Children need to learn that when they do what's wrong, that it hurts. Now, certainly there are other things and things that, as they grow older, that come into play. But punishing disobedience is the point. God does that with His children. And you know what? God expects us to do that with our children. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. And that's saying, well, listen, son, it hurts me more than it hurts you. Now, I know your kids don't get that. My kids didn't get that. But it's true. This is not an easy thing to do. But it is something that must be done. Your children need to learn and understand that disobedience hurts. Teach them to worship God. John 4 and verse 24, those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. They need to understand from their attitude all the way to the actual things that they're doing. They need to know what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad, and worship. And they need to understand why. They need to realize the value and importance of assembling with the saints on the first day of the week. The psalmist said, how good, how glad it is to assemble with the saints. Yes, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are not to forsake, but we have the spiritual responsibilities, the duties that we find in verse 24, to encourage, to edify one another. We're to teach them to reverence God, to fear Him. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 3, Nadab and Abihu was struck dead by God because they did something that God had not commanded them. The lesson, those who approach me must regard me as holy, God said. That principle is still the same. We need to teach them to respect God. So, attend. You need to attend services yourself, and you need to attend as often as you possibly can. Teach them the importance of assembling with the saints by attending yourself and bringing them to Bible classes, bringing them and teaching them and instructing them as the services are going on how to participate. And yes, punctuality does say something. If we are constantly, habitually late, what does that say about our values and the importance that we place upon worship? Teaching them to be quiet and listen to the lessons, to stay seated. We teach them by ourselves being quiet and reverently listening and participating in the worship. To sing and to pray. And to be silent and meditate as we're partaking the Lord's Supper. And to not be up and down getting a drink of water. I mean, if we're choking to death and we need a drink of water, fine. But, I mean, if it can wait until after the service, please do. Children need to go up, get out and go. Yes, they, you know, things need to be taken care of from time to time. There are things that take place. Some of us, some of you are getting older, and yes, there are needs and necessities. Get up and go. By all means, please do. But, listen, we need to teach those around us to be seated and to reverently pay attention to the things that are being done in worship. This is not something that we should take lightly. Teaching them to participate in the worship services, to sing and to pray. Teaching them to give and to partake of the Lord's Supper. Teaching them to listen and to take notes during lessons. Training them to take part in the work of the church. This goes for men and women. Women have roles too. And they need to be taught how to do the things that they can do. To visit, to provide for the sick, and to do other things that are needed to be done. Men need to be taught how to lead prayer. How to lead singing if they're capable of that. To serve the Lord's Supper. To preach. And there are a lot of other things that need to take place. And we need to teach them how to be workers in the kingdom. Regulate their friends. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. What about the fool? The fool who joins himself to fools, he'll be destroyed. Do not be deceived into thinking that worldly friends will not influence your child negatively. They will. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good morals. Children may see it as intrusive, not like it very much, but listen, it is necessary. It's your responsibility to protect them and to keep them from the dangers that are all around us. Dress them appropriately. Dress them appropriately. You know, having a little granddaughter now, you go shopping, Kohl's or Walmart, you know, just little babies. I mean, some of the clothes that are out there, shocking. Did you know that they've come out with a Barbie doll? A Barbie doll? That lingerie Barbie? Do you know about that? Lingerie Barbie. For girls ages 10 to 12. Lingerie Barbie. You go and you look at the racks for young girls. And it's amazing, some of the things that you see. But they need to be taught, girls and boys, need to be taught the importance and the meaning of modesty. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, we're to dress modestly. All of us are. Like it or not, clothing sends a message. Listen, you're driving down the street, and you see some guy walking down the street, and he's got his pants down here, you know. He's got his belt on, he's holding his pants up with one hand as he's walking. He's got his cap on sideways. And he's got all this jewelry around him, and he's walking down the street like that. What do you think? What kind of image does that portray? Is that a godly person? Or a girl? Let me tell you something. The other day, before it turned a little warmer, the other day I was coming down Chico over here, and there was a girl walking down the street. And it was 41 degrees outside. Okay? That's chilly. Okay? She had on a miniskirt. Now, this was a big girl, too, but she had on a miniskirt. And she had on a halter top. 41 degrees, no jacket. Well, her and her boyfriend walking down the street. Why would someone wear clothes like that to begin with? Secondly, why in the world would they be doing it in the middle of the winter? When our children dress like ungodly music stars or thugs, let me tell you, something's wrong. You ought to know, parents, that they are being influenced wrongfully by the people that they shouldn't be. The world, this wicked world. Finally, get them involved in things of the church, the good works that we need to be doing. Children need to see you fulfilling God's command to love others. love your neighbor as yourself. They need to see that. And they need to be involved in helping others and doing things that will be beneficial to others. Our children need to be taught. No, it's not easy. It requires great effort. It requires discipline from us as parents. It requires faith in God's way. But listen, if we train up the child in the way that he should go, he'll not depart from it. That general rule, that principle is true. Yes, they still have a free will. And it doesn't all depend upon the parent. I'm telling you, you play a key role in that. What are your children watching on television? Where are your children going? What are they doing? What are they hearing? What are they reading? What are they doing when they're away from you? And who are they with? What are they wearing? And what are their priorities? What are you teaching them? Not just what you're saying to them, what are you teaching them by your actions? Now, I want you to think about this. Your children, they're heading somewhere. Every person that's brought into this world is heading somewhere for eternity. Where is your child heading for eternity? Where are they heading, and what are you doing to help them go to heaven? Isn't that the most important thing? What are you doing to help them get to heaven? Your duty is to help develop their attitudes, their minds, enlighten them into the things of God, to develop a desire to please God. Your duty and your responsibility is to help them to develop a strong faith in God. But in order for you to be able to teach your children these things, you have to have these things yourself. So, what are you doing? Well, it's not easy raising children, especially in an ungodly world like we live in. But it is so important that you do what you can. Because if you don't, the world will. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. That would be a key first step, whoever you are. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe that He's been raised from the dead, He has died and raised from the dead for your sins and for your life, and if you're willing to repent, turn to God for guidance, instruction, if you are willing to confess Him before men, if you're willing to be buried with Him in baptism, why not now? And then get yourself on that road, because you can't take people where you do not go. And if you're going to help others get to heaven, you need to get on the path to get there yourself. And if you've fallen away, there's something in your life that you need to correct, you need to do that and do it today. Won't you come as together we stand and sing songs this late?